Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, sponsored by the audiobook edition of Will Eisner, A Spirited Life, now available on iTunes and Audible.com, and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media capital of the world and the home of Blondie cartoonist Dean Young, Tampa Bay, Florida. There are a number of daily newspaper comic strips that we tend to take for granted. Kathy by Kathy Geiswite is one. Mort Walker's Beetle Bailey and High and Lois are two more. And then there is my friend Ray Billingsley's strip, Curtis. Curtis shares the adventures of a young African-American boy whose age I'd put at between 9 and 11, maybe 10 or 11, dealing with life in his community. He's chasing, unsuccessfully, girls, being chased, successfully, by bullies, struggling with his dad's cheapness and smoking, in other words, all the stuff most boys do. But because the character is black, it sometimes seems like his creator, Billingsley, doesn't always get the opportunities or recognition that other men and women in his field do. One example, publication of his collected works. The last time Billingsley was a guest on my show, back in April 2007, he revealed his frustration with the cartoonist establishment and book publishing. Today, there is a new development on that front, publication of the first Curtis collection, A Boy Named Curtis. Ray, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thank you so much, Bob. I hope you're doing well.
I am well. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. You know, the business is hard, but I'm up for the challenge and the struggle.
Well, we'll talk about the business in a minute, but I want to say, first of all, congratulations on the new book. There is a story waiting to be told there, isn't there?
Oh, yes, definitely, yes. The whole thing behind this was I kept getting rejections. I get pat on the backs from people that tell me my work is so good, but then when I come to them for publication, they say, no, there's nothing we don't know we could do with it, as if it was some sort of special anomaly or something, where it's just a comic strip, a humor comic strip that tends to take the reader a little further than the norm. And I just got so tired of having doors slammed in my face after all this time that I decided to go the route of self-publishing and do it myself. And come to find out, I actually like doing it better because everything that you see in the book, from the cover to the back cover, was all of my doing. I had no third party. I had no one saying, well, I don't think this is working. It's all from me. And actually, that's the way I like it, because that's the way I do my strip. I work with no assistants. I have no writers. Everything in it is from me. So obviously, the next step would be to have the book 100% from my perspective only. And so far, from the buzz I'm getting, it's taken off. You know, the people really seem to like it. I don't know exactly how many people have logged into my new website. That's right, people, there's a new website. And if you all are interested in ever looking it up, it's www.billingsleyart.com. And this is the first time I've done a website, and I sort of chronicle years and years of work, from my early days of freelancing to my first strip, Looking Fine, to Curtis. So it's an ongoing struggle, but thank goodness I'm used to the pressure.
I'm not surprised to hear that you found it that you like the idea of publishing yourself. I just wonder if you gave any thought to, hey, I should have done this sooner. What took me so long?
Yeah, actually, I should have done it a lot sooner. But see, I had a lot more I had a lot more promise from people in the industry that led me on to think that one day there would be some sort of equal opening. And then finally it just hit me that it's not going to happen. There's a lot of double talk and a lot of downright lying in this business. Like I say, people want to pat you on the back and tell you, oh, welcome, send your stuff. And then they say, oh, well, we don't know what to do with it. It didn't make sense. So, yeah, this is something I should have done a long time ago. And this, the first compilation book that I have, it's starting with the year 2000. And each volume afterwards will contain an entire year, except for the Kwanzaa stories. And I'm going to move on from there. And from this point, I'm going to be even more of a threat to the industry. That's what I'm actually trying to do. I want to break these barriers down, but it's hard when people just keep pushing against you.
Right. Well, and I'm curious, the strip didn't start in 2000, but why did the collection start in 2000?
Well, actually, what I wanted to do was take it from the past, but not the far past, where the strip was already established with most of its familiar hooks, that I call them. And if this series really goes off well, maybe I'll think about doing a classic volumes and start from the beginning. But right now, I just want to, you know, I'm still testing the water, as most people with self-publishing has to do, and, you know, just seeing where it can take me.
And speaking of which, let's tell everybody, is the only place they can get the book on your site, billingsleyart.com?
Yes, so far. Now, I'm about to hook up with Amazon.com, and it seems like that's what everyone else is doing. Mind you, this whole process, I'm learning on my own.
Right.
Because no one gives you any answers. If I ask some of the more well-established people or people in the business, they always seem to suddenly get stupid, and they don't know where I should go or what I should do. I know they're only looking out for themselves. So I'm doing all of this by hunt and peck method, actually. Things are working out basically because I have to search and find it out. But,
right.
You know, the good thing about this is that I'm finding out I can do the same work that a production company is doing. All the people that are hired to look things up and all that, I can do that myself.
Right.
So the great part about it is I don't have to split any profit with any third-party company. You know, the only problem I'll have is finding the correct distribution.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll get that in time also. Like I say, this is my first volume, so I'm learning. And art is always a learning process.
Have you, you know, when we learn new things, we tend to make a mistake here and there. Have you made any mistakes in this process of publishing the first book? Anything you wish you could have, you know, had a do-over on?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, there were several things. When I found out about all the scanning, because, you know, in the old days, you made up a book dummy, and you used copies, and you pasted them on paper, and, you know, you sent them in, and then the company would do it, and they'd straighten it up and everything. But then I found out with scanning, you have to scan everything exactly the way you want it. So I scanned an entire book. Then when I looked back through it, I saw some of the strips were uneven. So I'd have to go back and do them over. I think this first volume I must have done about three times.
Oh, my.
And the cover itself was a killer because I think I went through five variations before I decided on the one that I have. I wanted to do something completely different. Since it was my pet project, I didn't actually want to use the Curtis logo on the front. I wanted it to look a little bit more like a professional graphic book. And I didn't want to do just the usual schmaltzy drawing on the front. I wanted to have some sort of graphic eye appeal, something that would grab the audience and pull them in.
Uh-huh.
And I think pretty much I've gotten that so far. Not
yeah, for- I think for people who haven't seen the book yet, we've got it's a book, and I'll just repeat it. It's a boy named Curtis. And it's Curtis is in six images, and he's dancing. And, I mean, it captures the joy of Curtis. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and see, that's the whole thing I wanted to do. When people tell me they don't know what to do with it or where the strip is going, I say, look, the strip is supposed to be about, it's a lighthearted tale about a boy. That's all it is. It's just that one little factor that seems to turn publishers off. I still go through that thing of, well, you know, blacks don't really read this stuff, and, you know, whites don't get it. But so far, I'm starting to prove them wrong because, as I see, I'm getting a lot of sales already. And this is just by word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that most of them are non-black. I'm pretty sure of that. I have to tell the audience that these series will be a limited run edition. So if they want to get one, they're going to have to, you know, get it soon because they're going. They're actually going fast.
Excellent. Well, I wanted to
ask
you.
Because of the book, as soon as the book came out, my creative juices were still flowing. And I said, there's not a bit of merchandising anywhere. I happened to hook up with a company that's with King Feature Syndicate called Cafe Press. Mm-hmm. And their website is cafepress.com/Curtis. And if you open that up, you'll see my first line of merchandising. Cards, T-shirts, sweatshirts, things for babies, you know, prints, collages, the whole thing. It's starting now. And it's a good story is up until a few months ago, I had been working with a lot of students and some other professionals in the field helping them. I said, this year, I've got to concentrate on myself a little, which is very unlike me because I am not a selfish person. And when people come to me for advice and things like that, I try to help them. You know, I go out of my way to help people. So I just decided to put a little bit of that energy into helping myself. And I'm actually getting a lot done. The second volume of Curtis is already scanned, and I'm working on a cover for that. So the second volume will actually be coming out probably the next couple of months.
I think the cover image for that one should be Curtis and Mr. Media dancing. What do you think?
That sounds good. That sounds good. Of course, I'm going to really concentrate on the second cover like I did with the first one, and I'm going to try something completely different.
Okay.
You know, each cover I want to be very much different. And I want it to look like bits of artwork. I don't want it to look like something that's just been slapped together. And a lot of the other books sort of got like that. You know, mm-hmm. You just saw a picture of the character out front, and that was about it. I tend to take a lot more care with everything I do. So this second one is knocking me around right now.
I like I'm looking at the Cafe Press store, which we'll give it out again. It's Cafe Press. .com/Curtis. There's character art, there's T-shirts, there's mugs, there's tote bags, and classic Curtis comics on frame prints.
Now, I haven't given that in yet. That part is still under construction because, you know what, it's hard for me to figure out which strips to display.
Got it.
It's a little bit harder for me. This is where I need a second person to come in and say, okay, this is good, this is good, this is good. Because I'm always second-guessing myself to make it better and better. And what I would want to offer any fans is the very best.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to, you know, I have to just sit back and go through years and years of strips and pick out about 10. We're talking like 10 strips out of 20 years. And hopefully, you know, some people will actually go for it. A funny thing, I happen to notice this. A few times I've sent out original art to some fans, and mind you, they were fans that said that they were quadriplegic or, you know, seriously in need and things like that. Then I would see them on eBay. Okay. I sent it to them in good faith, and then they would go and sell it on eBay. And, of course, when you look it up on eBay, you see just how much they got for it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, to me, it was a little bit staggering. I didn't think they could actually get that much for it. So there is a market. There is a market.
Ray, do you possess pretty much all of your original art from Curtis from all these years?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I make sure, you know, I retain everything.
Because one of the things I was going to ask you now that you have the shop open is, do you sell original strips, and can people, you know, is there a way people can buy them?
You know, actually, if they contact me on my website, if there's a certain strip they may want or they're interested in, they can ask for it directly. And,
oh, okay,
you know,
good.
we could talk about it then. I'm not one of those artists that you can't approach. You can talk
mm-hmm.
to me. You know, don't feel intimidated, because I'm just a person just like you. And, you know, I'd be happy to just speak. Sometimes I meet some people, and they just stand there with their mouths open, you know, just staring at me. And I said, you know, you can talk to me. It's okay. It's all right. So that would be another avenue.
Okay. By the way, I got to tell you, speaking of the frustration, we were talking about the frustration earlier about the books. The King Features site does not list your book yet.
No.
So
no.
Give them a kick in the pants.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not surprised about that. King Features really doesn't highlight anyone, you know, for any of their works. I think it's just a thing with the syndicates. You know, I don't know what Universal Press does or United Media. I don't know if they actually advertise their books, but I know in terms of King, they don't really do it for anyone. So it's not like I'm being singled out. It's just a pattern of that syndicate.
Got it. Well, you know, I wanted to ask you something content-wise about Curtis, especially because this book is the year Curtis in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. Tell me about three points in Curtis time, if you will. The year you started, then 2000, and then today. And how is the strip different at each of those three points?
Let's see. Basically, when it started, back in 88, when Curtis first premiered, I was sort of hunting and searching for things that people could really relate to. When it first began, Curtis was really just a series of just single gags that really didn't go anywhere. They were just funny gags.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they were funny. I hope people found it funny. But once I started finding out different hooks, that I call them, that people responded to, I started working on them and making them better and putting them at different points of the year so people could look forward to it. By the time I got to the year 2000, a lot of those hooks were solid. They were things that people were looking for, like Curtis and his father smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that started in the first week of Curtis, and it started getting mail right away. So I kept working on it. Same with Super Captain Cool Man. That thing was started as a joke. You know, I drew him on a restaurant napkin, and a friend of mine said, you know, you ought to try doing that in the strip. I did it once, and I got like 300 pieces of mail saying how good it was. They didn't think that I had done it, because it's in a different style. And from there, you know, he just sort of took off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the time, like I say, when I got to 2000, a lot of things had been dropped and a few had been added on. And I actually like dropping subjects from time to time, because that way the strip grows.
Right.
A few things I hated dropping, but the times changed. You know, Barry used to listen in on Curtis's phone calls on an extension. And, you know, he can't do that anymore because everyone's doing cell phones.
Right, right.
There was a music shop that used to disguise itself and show up in different places around the city because the parents always torched it. But what happened was rap became so mainstream, nobody cared anymore. You know, and record stores started going under. So that was another theme I had to drop. But, you know, it, things just keep going on. It keeps processing.
Yeah, I noticed that. In reading through the collection, I thought, yeah, this seems so quaint when rap was so, I don't know, threatening.
Right.
Or the parent would be upset by it. Now, a lot of that, they go back and say, geez, I wish my kids would be listening to that earlier rap and maybe not today's rap.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know.
But like I say, I enjoy the development. I don't like doing a work that becomes staid and predictable. You know, I don't
right.
want people to look it up and say, oh, well, I know what he's going to do here, blah, blah, blah. Because then people start to tire of you, as well as myself. I have to make sure I do the strip in a way that I don't get bored or it becomes so easy for me to do. I still have to challenge myself. And therefore, I also challenge the viewers to come along with me on this journey.
How have you been affected, if at all, by the shrinking number of newspapers and the shrinking space in newspapers?
Actually, I don't really think of it. All I do is just keep on putting out what I hope readers will still tune in to see. I'm not really worried just yet because I haven't lost any paper so far, except if they did go under, I might have lost one or two that way. But I'd rather lose it that way than have people cancel me because they don't like it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward, like I say, to the new challenges of the web, because thank goodness for the web. In a way, it's almost like a poison butterfly. All right, it's very beautiful, but yet it's not for everyone. In the way that it opens avenues up for everyone, and you don't have a small group of people saying, "Well, no, we don't know what to do with this," or "This isn't worth my time," or you know, "I don't know if I can get my fee from this." You can actually be the master of it all and put it out there. Had the web not come along, this volume may have never seen the light of day.
Right.
So I look forward to it. I look forward to not only the emergence of it, but its strengthening.
Mm-hmm.
So that the industry itself isn't so strong anymore. It has competition now.
Do you follow any online strips?
Yeah, actually, there's one by a fellow named Norm. I think it's Fente. He does a strip called Retail, and he also does another little strip. It's a weird strip. I think it's called Gill or something like that. But I love the artwork on it, and I usually see that on the web. I've never seen it printed.
Okay.
But I do enjoy seeing it that way. And also, some of the people that I'm in touch with, they send me their websites, and, you know, I look them up, and I see there's a lot of talent out there, some more than others. And they're not getting any exposure because a handful of people are saying, no, you know, we don't like it. you have a group of six or seven deciding the fate of the whole viewing country. And, you know, that's not right. That's not right.
Now, before we run out of time, I want to check. I'm assuming that there is a Kwanzaa installment of Curtis ahead of us. We've got Thanksgiving is in a day or two, so I assume that that's coming up. What can you give
right.
us a little tip as to what the storyline is this year?
No, I can't let you do
that. Nothing. Well, come on, it's
no,
me, Ray. Mr. Media, who am I going to tell?
I always tell people this. The Kwanzaa stories are the only stories where I could really add an element of danger in. Curtis and his characters are never in trouble of being killed or anything like that. But in my Kwanzaa stories, usually that's a factor. So I can just tell you it'll be another tale of discovery and of mortal danger. And mind you, that'll come up in the future. It'll probably come out next year where I'm going to do a special compilation of the Kwanzaa stories and you know, what my thinking was behind it and what the real gist of the story was from my point of view. Because I know sometimes people read into it and they read what they want to see, and it might be off the mark completely.
Mm.
So
I think the Kwanzaa stories in Curtis are in some ways an element of like the Treehouse of Horror on The Simpsons. It's just it's
right, right.
Very different for these. Yeah.
But see, that's what I like in the field. That's what I really like stressing, which is why I don't know why people say they don't know, or they say my strip doesn't have enough quality. I add little things like this that nobody else does.
Right.
And yet, right. I'm still seen as nothing, really. You know, I'm just forgotten most of the time.
Wow.
So I keep plugging away, because since they're not paying attention anyway, I say I can do what I want.
Well, and you know, you were smart that way to decide to publish yourself and go with the web. You have far more control and influence over your own product. That you know,
right.
That's definitely the
right.
way to go. Well, listen, folks, before we run out of time, you can find Ray Billingsley's first Curtis collection, A Boy Named Curtis, online. Only at the moment at his website, www.billingsleyart.com. And I'm going to spell it, okay, for those of you who are spelling impaired. BILLINGSLEYART.com. And there are Curtis T-shirts and all kinds of other memorabilia and merchandise for sale at www.cafepress.com/Curtis. And finally, you can follow Ray on Facebook and become a part of his community on LinkedIn. And as he mentioned before, if you are interested in acquiring original art from Curtis, contact him, I guess, through Facebook or the website, and he will discuss that with you happily.
Right. Either way, it'd be good. Because,
well,
like I said,
Ray,
don't be afraid to talk to me.
Well, I'm certainly not. You know that. And
great.
Ray, congratulations on publication of the book. I know this was a very big deal for you, and I'm very happy for you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Bob. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me back again. Anytime.
My pleasure. Either way, we'll bring you back when the next one comes out.
Okay, great, great.
All right, happy holidays, Ray.
Thanks, and same to you and the readers.
All right,
and
take
the listeners.
Care.
Hey.
The listeners.
All right.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And folks, for interviews with more of your daily comic strip favorites, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with the creators of Pearls Before Swine, Leo, Beetle Bailey, Zitz, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, blogcritics.org, TrueSlant, Pointer Online, Digital Journal, Vox, MediaFly, Podfeed.net. Hey, it worked in rehearsal. I don't know what to say. Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, Current,